your arm for people to do the right thing. It's my job to present it. But the Word of God says, choose you this day. See, it's a personal choice, and I cannot make that for people. But I love each and every single person that I'm their pastor. At night when I'm going to bed, there's times where I can't sleep because I'm concerned about folks. Why? Because I love them. Amen. And what I really, really want is for people to have their very best life. Amen. And you cannot have that if you don't have someone that will preach it to you. So one of the things that I want to put up inside of you is this right here. If the only time that you get into your Word, your Bible, is on Sunday, you're missing it. Okay? And I say that with the most humble attitude that I can. Because let me just kind of disclose to you that I am not going to get you in heaven. I cannot do that for you. The Word of God says you work out your own salvation, and you're going to do that with fear and with trembling. But by the time that you make it to heaven or to hell, you will have made that choice for yourself. So I am encouraging you, and I'm begging you, as your leader, as your pastor, I encourage you to get into the Word and to do that on other days besides Sunday. Because here's what I know about the Word of God. The Word of God, it is living and it is active. And because it is a living thing, when we plant the Word of God inside of our heart, and when we get into things in our life and trouble comes and depression comes and struggle comes and battle comes, when we have put the Word of God in our heart, that Word, because it is living and because it is active, the Word will go to the trouble. The Word will go to the infirmity. The Word will go to the mental illness. The Word will go to the addiction. But it will not go unless it is planted. And that is why I'm going to encourage you like never before. Get that Word up in your heart. Amen? Go with me to Genesis chapter 22. One of the things that I am very big on is reading the Word, obviously. I've just given my Sermon on the Mount about that. But the only way I can preach is I can preach it out of my own life, okay? When I was a kid, we had Bible study every morning at 5:30 in the morning, and I absolutely hated that. But I am very thankful for that now as an adult. But one of the things that I just have to tell you and give you the full picture, because it's my job to preach you the whole Word. It's never about, in one setting, how much of it you can read. I'm not more saved than you because I read 22 chapters and you only read 10 today. Okay? It's never about the amount that you're going to read in any particular setting. But what it is about is how much of that Word do you understand? That is what it's about. I'm going to have to take this jacket off. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I lost 43 pounds, and I've gained about 10 of that back, and now my little fat rolls are kind of hanging over these pants, and I'm going to try to stay behind this pulpit. It's a smidge on the hot side. Is anybody else hot? If you're a little warm, raise your hand. Okay, we've only got a few people, and they're on this side. We do not want to icebox and freeze everybody else out, so just turn the fans on a little bit. Anyhow, what it is about is how much of the Word that you can understand. Because the Word won't do you any good if it's like reading Spanish to you. But if you can get it up inside of you and begin to learn it and understand it, that's when it will change your life. Now, what we're going to do today is we're going to hang on every single word, and we're going to be in this place for at least 2 weeks where we're going to read today. And I want to tell you about the Word, and I'm going to go over some things. I've got people of all different faiths, and I've got people in all different seasons of their life. I have people that have been saved for 50 years, and I've got people that have been saved a week. So I'm going to cover some things that you probably already know, and then I'm going to cover some things that you probably don't know, and that's how I'm going to capture all of us. We're going to get a scoop us all up, and we're going to get on the same page. So one of the things about the Word of God is that you can hang on every single word. Every word means something. I don't care if it's the word and, or the word suddenly, or the word therefore. You can hang on that word. And there have been days, in some of my worst days, where I've hung on to just one word. And we're going to do that today because I want to get you to that place where you're hungry for the Word of God. There's people, and you're good people, but you just ain't hungry. And if you ain't hungry, you won't come and eat. So Genesis chapter 22, and we're going to go over some very basic things today. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 1. I'm going to hit 5 points this morning. Sometime later, God tested Abraham, and he said to him, Abraham. Now, I'm going to stop right there, because what we see in this verse is that God that made everything, he spoke to someone named Abraham. And what I want to tell you this morning is that God wants to speak to you. God has something to tell you about your life. People say, well, I can't hear God. Let me tell you something. My sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Am I coming down on you if you're saying that I'm in a place and I'm in a season in my life where I can't hear from God? No, but what I am saying is that's going to have to be justified. We're going to have to get it to where you can hear from God. So what we see here in the Word is sometime later, God tested Abraham, and he said to him, Abraham. Now, the second thing that I want to point out to you in this, just this little bit of words, is number one, God spoke to him. And guess, don't get any weird thing. God will speak to you, and he does. There's lots of people in there. They've been saved for 30, 40 years, and they ain't hearing from God because they done got a new routine, and they think that they know it all. Let me tell you something. Ain't nobody knows it all. Amen? So number one here, God has something to say to you throughout the course of your life. And number two, let's read it again. Sometime later, God tested Abraham, and he said to him, Abraham. My second point that I want to bring out to you this morning is the living God calls you by your name. When you're going through something and it's the hardest thing that you have ever been through in your life, God is calling you by your name. He's not saying, hey, you, or hey, dummy over there, you done did the same thing a millionth time. He's saying, hey, Kayla, hey, Kelly, hey, Dwayne, he's calling you by your name. The living God cares enough about you that, number one, he talks to you. Now, how does this reflect on us? You know, there's people that have gotten on my last nerve, and I've just quit talking to them. Now, I'm going to preach where we doggone live, okay? How many of you get sick of people, and you get sick of messing with them? God ain't like that, but we are. We shouldn't be, but if I'm going to preach, Rita, I'm going to preach the truth. Sometimes we get sick of people, and we get sick of messing with them, and then we just stop talking to them because we're sick of them. Okay? So there we are. There's where we actually live, and God doesn't get sick of us. He's very patient with us, but he calls us by our name. Very long ago, eons ago, about 20 years ago, I worked for a bank. I had just gotten out of college, and I couldn't get a job in my field, and so I worked at a bank. Well, I didn't like it. But one of the aspects about it that I did like was people. I've always been a people person. I'm very social. And when I was being raised, my parents taught me two things. Number one, don't be backwards. When you're talking to somebody, when somebody's talking to you, you look them in the eye and you be able to look them in the face and say, yeah, I did it, or no, I didn't do it, or blah, 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 blah. See, if you're raising your kids to be backwards, shame on you. You need to be raising kids that'll look you in the face and talk and say it how it is. Because, see, we're living in a very confused time where people don't know what the heck they are. They're confused. How did they get confused? Well, all of us parents were being dumb when we were raising them. And I'm trying to get out of my dumb spell so I can do a better job as a mom. I was telling Frank yesterday, God bless, I don't know how these kids got so terrible. We said, well, I have an idea, you. You done gave them everything. They're awful. I went to bed last night saying, God, help me correct it. But God calls you by name. One of the things that this bank did when we were training, they said, Kelly, here's what we want you to do. You better get to knowing who these customers are because we want you to call them by name. They are very important. They are your livelihood. And you, they deserve that when they walk in those doors that you call them by name. Thank you, Mr. Smith. How are you today, Miss Jones? And I thought, well, these people are crazy. But you know what? The more I think about that, they're right on. Because you know what? When you call somebody by their name, there's no mistaking who you're talking to. And God talks to you. And not only does he talk to you, but he calls you by name. He calls you by name. And not only does he call you by your name, but he calls you and he says, you're mine. See, when you feel like in your life that nobody wants you and that you've messed up so much, you still have a living God that says, no, I still want you. No, you haven't gone too far. So he calls us by name, and that's an important thing for us to realize. Now go with me to Isaiah chapter 43, and we're going to look at verse 1. And it says, but now, this is what the Lord says. But now. We spend so much of our life worrying about every other moment in time besides right now. I'm going to say that one more time. We spend so much time and we waste so much energy talking about every other time period except for right now. And see, God is trying to get you to a point where you are not looking to the left, you are not looking to the right, you are not looking behind you, and you are not looking in front of you. You are looking where you are at right now. Because see, right now, what you're doing right now is going to affect you 2 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. So you got to do the right thing right now. You got to know what God is doing in your life right now. You got to know what God is saying to you right now. God wants to get people in today to stop focusing about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough stress and trouble all of its own. Yesterday has enough of regret all in its own. So the word says, but now this is what the Lord says. And I want to ask you today, what is God saying to you right now? What is he saying to you right now in this point in your life today? What is he saying to you? A lot of people don't know. And it makes them very complacent. People don't know what God is saying, and that is a problem for the believer. Because, see, God is either guiding you or you are guiding you, or the devil is guiding you, and it's one of those three people. You need to know what he's saying right now. Right now. I remember a few years back, we bought these three houses, and it was my job to try to get those things sold. Now, those things were atrocious. You could see cockroaches before you ever even got close to them things, okay? I told God, this is impossible. I was at some swimming lessons for my kid, and at that time, I was not the pastor. I was working for the church, and I called Dad, who was the pastor. He is still a pastor of this church today, and I said, these houses are not going to sell, okay? This is just ruining my day with this kid of mine at these swimming lessons because you have given me a task that is impossible. These places are dumps, and they are gross, okay? They are not going to sell. And he said, Kelly, you are doing the wrong thing right now. What you should be doing is you should be enjoying Carson Paul learning how to swim. Because, see, those houses, God has already ordained what is going to take place. The manna center is sitting in the spot of one of those houses today. Why am I telling you this? Stop worrying about everything that's going on tomorrow and yesterday. Stop it. You focus on right here and right now. There are some people, and they feel so bad about what they've done in their past, God can't give them what he has for them because, see, they ain't ready because they've put all their effort on regret. You got to live outside of that regret and decide you're going to move on with your life and go forward. What is he saying to you now? What is he doing in your life now? That is the most important thing for you. The Word of God, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. If you are a sheep, if you are a believer, you need to be practicing the ability to hear from God. How do you do that? God will tell you something, he'll show you something, or whatever, and then it's your job to respond. I've got a 12-year-old son, and him and I, we go round and abound. Because he thinks that it's acceptable when he's being talked to not respond. And that is one of the most arrogant things that people can do in communication. And there ain't nothing make me want to lose my religion more and slap that kid than when he decide he don't need to respond to his mama. That is rude. And I get after him. Oh, do I get after him? And then when I get tired, I tell Frank, Frank, get after him, please. He's done worn me out and gotten me in a bad mood. And Frank goes, great, Carson, thanks a lot. You done got your mama in a bad mood. Now we all got to suffer. But see, respond to God. You know, every Sunday when we come up in here, you're responding to the word that you got, whether you realize that's what you're doing or not. Because when you go out of here, you're either going to live out that sermon or you're going to let it be just another 45 minutes in your life that you heard and you're not going to apply it to your life. But we have to learn how to respond to God, how to react to God. When God tells us to do something, a lot of times we think that that is a negotiation taking place. Well, God is not a used car salesman. I don't know if you know that. But God doesn't change his mind. He actually says in his word that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, here's what the modern day looks like. Not for everybody, but for most people, God will say, I want you to do such and such, or I want you to give such and such. I want you to go to such and such. And here's what we do. Now, God, if that was really you talking to me, when I go to the canned aisle at Harps, what I want you to do is make an angel appear, okay? And then I want the angel to tell me that that's what I'm really supposed to do. See, but life ain't like that. God ain't going to just baby you to the point where he's got to give you signs and wonders just for you to do what he told you to do. One of the places where I have fallen short as your pastor is preaching and teaching you how to be obedient to what God has told you to do. But make no mistake, here's what's going to happen. When God tells you to do something, if you don't do it, you're going to go around and you're going to come back to a place where he tells you to do it again. Okay? Then if you choose not to do it, then you're going to come around and you're going to come to that place again. You're going to keep coming to that place where you're going to have a decision in which way you're going to go. And a lot of people, they get mad at God in this part because they say, well, God, I'm just stuck. And why is my life still stuck in this place? Well, because see, you chose to be stuck because you keep coming around and you still won't do what God's asked you to do. I want people unstuck. I want people freed up. How do we get there? We begin to know how to hear the voice of God. How do we know it? Well, you know what? It'll start out as that still small voice inside of you telling you which way to go in your life. And what you need to do is when you hear the voice of God, you need to listen and be obedient. Can I keep it real? Okay? I'm going to keep it real. Here's what I have been through as a pastor. Okay? This is very important, and I'm going to put this out there. I know I've got lots of people watching me on Facebook. I probably have more people watching on Facebook than we actually got in the sanctuary because people have gotten complacent and lazy. And let me just tell you, it is not the same. Dear Facebook person, it is not the same. But you've got to be in the church that God told you to be at. There is a place in the Bible, and it says, now God has placed each member in the body as he sees fit. God will bring you to a church and he will plant you. Now, anybody that tells you, well, you can have church anywhere. You can this and you can that. You know what? Look here, Missy, here's the truth. I love being out on the lake. But let me tell you something. I ain't having church on the lake. What I'm having is a moment where me and God are communing together. But I'm not having church out there because when it's church time, I'm up in the church. We have gotten so loose as a society that we are calling right wrong and wrong right. And we got to get past that because what it's doing is it's confusing people and they don't know the difference between right and wrong anymore. And then what happens is we get a confused society and you will get a pastor and people will come and sit in a church and the very first time that pastor says something that they don't like, and most of the time they don't like it because it's conviction coming to that part of their life that's in error, they think it's time to go. Now, I cannot tell you how many times Dad has offended the absolute crap out of me. He has been my pastor for 38 years. And he has offended me probably for 38 years. Why? Because there's a lot of truth coming out of him. God will use, you got to be able to hear God, number one. You need to be planted where you're supposed to be. God hasn't called people to be church hoppers. Am I saying you can never leave a church? No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying God will put you where you're supposed to be. And in that place, you're going to grow, you're going to flourish, but you're also going to be challenged. You're going to be challenged. You're not going to always like what your pastor has to say. You're not going to always agree with it. People scratching their heads in here, yeah. You're not going to like what I say most of the time, I guess. You may not agree with it. Look here, you need to meditate on it. Because many, many times that's conviction coming up in there. People don't like to be convicted. Why? Because, see, conviction is going to make you do one of two things. It's going to make you change, or it's going to make you so uncomfortable that you can't stand to be there. That's what it'll do. And I'm telling you today, you need to position your life where you can hear from God. And when God tells you to do something, you need to act on it. Now, what has happened in the past is this right here. You've got to have a good pastor. You've got to have somebody that loves you, but they'll also tell you when you're doing wrong. I had somebody in the church. This has been a while back. And I said, okay, I'm going to take you, and we're going to do some different type of ministry. Now, look here. I have worked very, very hard to be where I stand today in many, many ways, and I've sacrificed basically everything. And so when I say to somebody, I'm going to let you represent the ministry, I'm going to have some rules and regulations because, see, souls are at stake when that gets messed up. So I had this person, and I said, okay, we're going to minister. Now, I don't like for people to feel beat up after they get ministered to. I'm just not really big up into that. Now, do I want you to feel convicted? Yeah, but do I want you to feel like you're a dirty, rotten son of a gun? No. I don't want you to feel like that because, see, God don't want you to feel like that. Right. And this person, they went up in this place, and they basically just slammed this group of people that we were ministering to the point where these people were in tears. And I got that person up in the car after that, and I reamed their butt out one end and down the other. And I said, you know what? As your pastor, I am telling you that you were in the wrong. And I'm going to also remind you that when you were a baby Christian, I never did that to you. I never said those things that you said to those people today. I never handled you that way. See, I told you that God loved you, and you just told them they were on their way to hell because they did this, that, and the other. And here's what the person said to me, and we got to be careful with what we do. They said, well, I don't have any regrets. God told me to do that. And I said, well, God's telling me you're done. And you won't be coming alongside and ministering with me no more because, see, I'm over you, and I'm telling you that you did wrong. See, God's not going to handle you in such a way where you're feeling awful about yourself and you think that you've missed heaven just because you made a mistake, and that's what this person did. But see, there's too many times where believers, they're doing what they want to do, and then they're slapping a stamp on there and said, well, Jesus told me I could do it. No, he didn't. Quit lying to yourself. There's too much of that. When people make mistakes, what we've got to be able to do is just own them. Own those mistakes. Why? So you can grow. Because, see, until you own your life, you're in a stagnant place. Until you say, yeah, I did it. And you know what? I was wrong. There's no more growing for you to be able to do. What there is some laps. We're going to go around some more. We're going to go around some more. We're going to keep coming around till we can own that part of our life where we say, yeah, we messed up. But see, there's too much pride in the hearts of believers where people can't just say, I did it. What they want to do is they want to act religious and say, God told me to. God said to do it. So, Pastor, I don't care that you said that was wrong. God told me to. Well, look here. I'm not God. But see, when God tells me how the ministry is supposed to flow and don't be mean to people and beat them up over their stuff that they've done, show them grace and mercy and tell them, hey, you messed up, but God still loves you. See, you got to be able to do that. So what we have to know about God is that, you know what? He will speak to us. He will call us by name. And when we step out of line and we step out of his will, do not say that God told you to do that. Because there's a curse in that. Amen? So Isaiah chapter 43, it says, "But now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not." Fear not. My third point, fear not. Fear not. A lot of our bad decisions are made out of fear. A lot of our zigs when we should have zagged were made out of fear. Do not let fear control your actions, because they will take you to a place in your life that it will be hard for you to get up out of. Too many people, good people, are living their life and they are motivated by fear. And that's why I don't like to motivate people behind this desk out of fear. Because here's what I know. If I've got to motivate you out of fear, there's going to become a time where you ain't afraid of that no more and you're not going to do the right thing. Somebody paid me the biggest compliment a couple weeks ago, and they said, "You know why we keep coming back is because you haven't told us we're going to hell yet." Well, guess what? You ain't going to hear a message like that, because I'm not going to motivate you up with that. I'm going to tell you what's right, and I'm going to tell you what's wrong, and it's up to you to make that decision. But the Word says, fear not, fear not. So here we have God, and He's telling us to not live in fear. But then He also tells us why not to. See, God will tell you to do something or to not do it, but then He'll many times give you a reason, and we see that in His Word, and He says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. Or fear not, because I have redeemed you. What does redeemed mean? I've saved you. I've paid the price for you. So when we've messed up, when things have happened in our life, when we've got something that we're afraid of, you cannot let fear be motivate you. You got to step out of fear and step into faith. And the reason is because God's already saved you. What has He saved you from? Whatever it is you're afraid of. Whatever it is that you're afraid of. You know, most of the things that we fear, they never happen. Most of the things that we are afraid of, they never happen. But how many of you know, when they do happen, that the grace of God is right there? It's right there. God's saying, don't walk in fear with that. I've already redeemed you. I've already called you by name. So it says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you or called you by name. Here it is again in the Word where we see that God has called us by name. God has called us by name. What does that mean? That He knows every single hair that's on your head, or lack thereof. He knows every single thing that's going on with you, and He thinks enough of you to get to know your name. He thinks enough of you that before you were even formed in the womb of your mother, He called you by name. He set you apart. It's high time that people begin to know who they are and whose they are. Whose they are. Why are we going over this today? Because when I start to see a trend, I have to address it. And here is something that I have seen. Now, this is going to offend probably about half of you, so get yourself prepared. When I was getting this message, I was going, God, really? I've got to preach that? Ugh. Okay. I surrender. I'll do it. One of the things that I have seen that was never God's will for your life is when we are constantly in a state of lack. Amen, thank you, Brother Sam. I'll take that one. Amen. Amen. One of the things that I have seen is the believer being in a constant state of lack, Brother Larry. Now, go with me now. How many of you know that we serve the God that owns everything? Okay. I'm taking you somewhere with this. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Amen. How many of you know that everything that we have, God gave it to us? Here's what I want to see in the lives of people and families that go to this church. You know, I want to see people thriving. Thriving in your life. Thriving in your health. Thriving in your finances. Thriving in your family. Thriving at your job. Thriving with everything. You know, God has given us favor, but we haven't tapped into it, a lot of us. You know, God told people in the Bible, wherever you set your foot, I'll give it to you. That's the kind of God that we serve. So when we think that we're going over simple things in the Word, it's because a lot of us have forgotten some of the very basic things that are a need for success. And what I'm telling you today is that God talks to you. I'm telling you that He calls you by name. And the third point is that God is telling you to not live your life motivated by fear. Because fear is a hindrance for you. Fear is a hindrance for you. Fear is a block, a prayer block for you. So fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. There it is again. He calls us by name. You are mine. You are mine. Now the fourth point that I'm giving you today is you are His. You are His. And He takes ownership of you right there in this verse. How many of you remember the day that you gave your life to Christ? Do you remember saying the sinner's prayer? If you don't, that's okay. But I remember that day. And you know what, Sherry? There's been many days since that day that I have felt like nobody wanted me. There have been many times where I felt like I had gone too far. There had been many times that I thought God couldn't use me because this, this, and this. But let me tell you something. When God puts an ownership over your life and when He says, you're mine, He takes on the responsibility and the obligation right there to make something out of you. And see, whether you want to believe it or not, there is a standard for believers, and we are all going past it like, oh, I'm okay, you're okay. You know what? Let's just get down to where we all live. Ain't none of us really okay. We got some problems, and some of us got some secret sins. We probably all got some secret sins. And some things that ain't real good. And if the curtain was drawn back, we'd be like, oh, my God, I don't want nobody knowing that. Amen. But it don't matter what you done did. God calls you His. And that's important for you to know that He calls you His. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 19 through 20, and that is going to be in the King James Version. And here's this verse. Now, I feel like I'm a little bit loud or something just changed with that volume, and I'm not sure what it was. But 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting at verse 19, we're going to hang on some of this. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? I'm going to get up here and just pray to God I don't fall. Okay. Now let's go over this again. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. So what this verse is saying is that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is inside of you. Living, breathing, and having His being up inside of you. So don't tell me that, oh, you can't control your behavior, or oh, you can't this, and oh, you can't that, because you got a Holy Spirit up inside of you that's living and active and moving and trying to lead you to a place where you're your best, because He's inside of you. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Your life is not your own. How many of you, once again, you remember saying the sinner's prayer? Do you remember that part in there where you said, Lord, I give you my life. Take it. God, I give you my life. So in that moment, you transferred ownership over to the one who created you to have His way in your life. And the word says, you are not your own any longer. You know, there's things, Penny, that I've wanted to do. My flesh wanted to do. And I didn't do them, because here's what I know. My life is not my own. We got to stop living and acting like we're the lone sheriff, because let me tell you something. Your life is not your own. And that's not a very popular message, because people like to have control. You know, the bad thing about us having control is we tend to mess things up. Amen? We tend to mess them up. Verse 20, this is why your life is not your own. For ye are bought with a price. You were bought with a price. Your life is not your own because, see, you were bought with a price. What was the price? His only Son. And so it tells us, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. There's too many believers, and what they're doing is they're edging on the side of right. Too many believers are edging on the side of right. What does that mean? Well, we're compromising what we know to be right in the little areas of our life. Here's what a lot of people do. Well, Pastor Kelly, I used to be an alcoholic, and I've been delivered for 6 months, and I feel like God's telling me to go down to the bar with my three friends to minister to them. So I'm going to go, and you don't need to say anything about that to me because God told me to do it. Now look here. Whether you like it or you don't like it, I'm probably going to tell you you're an idiot. Right? God ain't called you to go in that bar. And I'm not preaching a message about bars, so don't get all offended. But see, don't slap God's name on it and said He told you to do it when you doggone know He did not. And when you want to get out of kilter with life, you need to remember that your life is not your own. There's going to be things that you're going to not do because you've made the choice that, hey, I'm not going to listen to that flesh part of me because I don't belong to me anymore. I belong to God, and God's Word tells me not to do this. God's ways are going to hack you off sometimes because He's not always going to want to make choices that are going to make you happy. But He's going to make choices that are the best for you, and you'll be happy about them later when your life's not messed up. So we belong to God because we were bought with a price. Amen? So it says, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. What does the word glorify mean? It means to praise and to worship and to honor. Now, one of the things, I am very big, y'all can see this communion up here today, because in the month of January, I said, you know, one of the areas where I have missed it for the past 5 years as a pastor was by not having our Sunday morning crowd take communion. We have it every Wednesday, but a lot of people don't come on Wednesdays, and there's people that never took communion up until January. Well, communion is one of the most important things in your life. So I preached a message about communion. And if you're interested in that, it's on live. Go back to January and you'll see what communion is about. But what I don't like to do with people is have them doing something and they don't understand what they're doing. I want you to understand what's going on in your church. I want you to understand it, because if you don't understand it, it's not going to be important to you. And that's what's happened in our society, is we have our children, we have our young adults, that things are not important to them anymore because they have not been taught why they're important. Honey, where are those baskets? One of the most important things that takes place in any church, and I am going to begin to minister about it, and I want to tell you that God in His Word talks more about money then He does heaven and He does hell combined. Amen. Now, I'm not going to score points on this because people get plumb offended when you talk about their money. And guess what? I got to stop worrying what people are offended about, and I've got to start worrying on whether or not they're making it to heaven or not. But I want you to understand what the tithe is. There are four areas that, as I prayed last night, God said, Kelly, you're missing it. See, can you take correction? Can you take it? Because let me tell you something. God has been correcting me. You don't want a pastor that's a stiff neck. Here are the four areas that God began to say, you're light on it, and that's why it's not being lived. The tithe, praise and worship. You know, sometimes, you know, I used to sit right where Rita and Johnny were sitting. And you know why I stopped sitting there? It's because it was a distraction for me as the pastor, because I would look around to see what everybody else was doing, and I was bothered when they were bothered about the heat or about the air. Or I even had somebody during the pandemic, Pastor Kelly, somebody had their nose up out of their mask, and I'm offended and I'm not coming back to church because they were infecting us with their nostrils. Don't ever wonder how I got to be crazy. Because I take these criticisms by the truckload on a weekly basis. One of the areas where we're missing it, church, is praise and worship. One of the areas where we're missing it is tithes and offerings and giving. Another place where we're missing it is connection. 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 See, if God placed you here, you should be connected. What does that mean? Well, the first time I say something you don't like and you miss three services, you know what that tells you and me both and God? You're not connected. The fourth area is serving. Serving. So I'm not going to dance around these topics anymore. I'm not going to take up whole church services, but I'm going to talk about them. When Pastor Angelo comes up here on Sunday morning and he says, y'all stand up. Everybody in this place that God has given the strength to stand, you should be on your feet. When he gets up here and he says, we're about to have praise and we're about to have worship, if you have strength in your body, you should be up on your feet. I'm going to take it a step further, and this is where I'm going to really hack half of you off. You should teach your children. Because I promise you, if you don't teach them, the local prisons will. And you'll be visiting them there. I preach to a lot of people's kids that's where they've decided they're going to live for a little bit. And you know what? They're broken. And their mamas are broken. And their daddies are broken. And their family is broken. Your children should be in church. Don't tell me how much you love them. And give them the best birthday parties. And every time that you've got an excuse for them to not be in church, they're not in church. God is going to ask you one day, why the heck you did that? Amen? Now, listen, this is probably hacking you off. It's going to fall where it falls. And if everybody decides to leave, I'm going to still be blessed. Not because of this, that, or the other. But you know what, Barbara? I'm a blessed person because I'll do what God told me to do. And I've stood in some hard places, and I've hacked a lot of people off. And God said, Kelly, this is what you're preaching. I said, okay. I'm not looking forward to it, but I'm going to do it. Now, when he gets up here and he says, y'all stand to your feet because, see, this is worship, I want to explain something to you, that the tithes and the offerings, they're holy. They're holy. And this is worship. Amen, it is. You do not pay your tithes. I know. I'm going to have people madder than a hornet. It's going to be what it's going to be. You do not pay your tithes. You know what we do with them, Dwayne? I know that you know this. We release them because they are not ours. It's not a popular message. But here is what I'm going to say, and I'm going to end with this, and then we're going to take communion. If a pin fell right now, we'd all know it. Because, see, God is going to begin to convict people in here, and if every single person leaves this church, you're going to leave in error. But I'm going to preach the word to you because I'm going to answer one of these days for you. And that's a wait. But if you keep coming up in lack in your finances and you keep on coming to this place of lack, what I want you to do as your pastor is I want you to look and ask yourself, have I robbed God? Have I robbed Him? I have two children. And I love both of them with all of my heart, and I would do anything for them, but they are polar opposite. Brother Sam, the other day, gave both of them $20. I said, Coco, give me your $20 because I don't want you to lose your $20. That's a lot of money to me. Is $20 a lot of money to y'all? It's a lot of money to me. He got all twisted up with me. He said, I don't want to give you that money, Mama, because I'm about to put that in the offering. That's Coco. And then I looked at the other one, Johnny. Carson Paul, he would take his 20, Coco's 20, and your 20, and he wouldn't even think about giving God nothing. And that's my kid, and I'm going to have to do better. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. What's good for the pastor is good for the congregation. And that is how people are. You've got people that they would give God everything. And when I say everything, I'm not even talking about just your money. I'm talking about your life, your choices, your career, your cars, your heart, all of it. And then there's people, you ain't going to give God nothing. If you are coming up in lack in your life, you need to trace that back, because you're in error somewhere. If you're coming up in lack in your finances, many times you're robbing God, and that's a curse that's on your life because of that. Now, people don't like to hear this. Oh, that church just wants your money. I want to tell you this, and it's not because I'm bragging on myself. It's because I'm bragging on God. This church does not owe one dime to anybody. That Manna Center is done, and it's paid for. I'm not out to get your money. I said I'm not out to get your money. See, you're either going to grow or you're going to leave. It don't get any more blunt than that, does it, Dwayne? Look here, if I died today, I would have died doing exactly what God told me to do, saying exactly what He told me to say. That's all that really matters. I'm not out to get your money. But what I am out to get is for your heart to begin to change. Because see, if you're robbing God, see, money is piddly. God owns it all. Okay? If you come up in lack, He's going to give you some. But if you'll rob Him with something such as piddly as money, what else will you rob Him with? Brother Sam, Brother Frank, Brother Tyler, I'm going to ask you guys to come up. We are going to do communion. You're going to get the middle. Y'all can start passing that out. I'm going to preach the whole word to you, because I want you